Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life.
Well, praise the Lord. It's good to be with you today. And the Lord has blessed us and brought us up here. And I think we've driven about 20,000 miles or so this year so far. And we're starting to wind down now a little bit. This is one of our last churches for the year here in the States. We are our lower 48, but we are going up to Alaska in October and November. So be praying for us during those times. I just want to continue on a little bit with my testimony and pick up. Just to let you know that, you know, like I said, I was considered a loser and a failure at one point in my life, and people thought I'd never amount to anything, and I wouldn't if I would have stayed on that track that I was on until I accepted Christ. That changed everything. It really literally did, and eventually I graduated high school. I made it through second in my class from the bottom, but at least I made it through high school. Just wanted to see if you're awake this morning. But the Lord also impressed upon my heart to do something I never, ever thought that I would do. And that was to learn how to fly airplanes. So here I am going from someone who stayed back in high school, didn't know anything about learning, and struggled through that. And the Lord said, I want you to learn how to go fly airplanes. Okay. So I did that. I was faithful. And then he gave me a desire to want to go into the military. And there was a struggle there, and Satan tried to distract me because I got an offer of flying Learjets, real fast airplanes, and could have made lots of money. But I felt the call of going to the military. The Lord was calling me, so I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to follow you, and I'm going to do what you want me to do. And through that, I had a very good career in the military, 22 years in the Air Force, and moved all around the world, different countries, deployed to Iraq and Afghanistan. And through all that, the Lord kept me safe. He grew my faith, and I just trusted in him, and came a point where we felt it was time to get out of the military, felt a call to go into ministry, and at the same time, I got promoted again in the military, and I was promoted to pretty high rank in the military, and you know, Satan trying to distract again, and I said, no, Lord, you're calling us into the ministry. I'm going to follow you, and that's what we did. We could have kept going in the Air Force and had a good career going there, but we said no to that, and we said yes to the Lord, and that's where we are right now. We're doing the printing and shipping John and Romans around the world. The ministry has been around for about 30 years, and we've only been doing this for about two. That's when we retired from the Air Force in 2014, and the Lord has just really blessed our lives throughout the years, and he's blessing in the ministry, and we're just so excited to see what he's doing as we deliver scripture to churches like this and be able to get out and around and get his word out into the communities that we print for. We've printed for over 20 countries and different languages, or 20 different languages, 20 countries, and basically 4 million copies of John and Romans have gone out of our print shop over the last 30 years. So we're just thankful for what he's doing. We're a debt-free ministry. We don't charge churches like this or anybody really for the Word of God. It's just by donation. People give donations to the ministry, and that's what buys the rolls of paper and pays for the shipping and those kinds of things. So we're just thankful. When we're faithful to God, he's faithful to us, and he's blessed us over the years there. So just wanted to close that out before we get into the message here this morning. And if you want to take your Bibles and turn to Esther, we'll be in the book of Esther briefly, and then we'll go to a bunch of other scriptures, but we'll start off in the book of Esther here. I want to focus on the importance of knowing Christ this morning, the importance of having a personal relationship with him. And I want to take Esther and just take a look at some thoughts here in the book of Esther and use those thoughts as we talk about having that personal relationship with Christ. So Esther chapter 4 and verses 8 through 17. What we're going to see here, we're going to see four things. We're going to see a charge, we're going to see a call, we're going to see a commitment, and we're going to see a cost as we read through this here. So chapter 4 verse 8 says this, also, he gave him the copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther and to declare it unto her, and to charge her that she should go in unto the king to make supplication unto him and to make request before him for her people. And Hatach came and told Esther the words of Mordecai, and that was a servant there. Again, Esther spake unto Hatach and gave him a commandment unto Mordecai. So he's kind of the go-between between Queen Esther and Mordecai here. So what's happening is, Esther speaks to Hatach and gives him this commandment. And in verse 11, all the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king, into the inner court, who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I have not been called, this is Esther saying, I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. And they told to Mordecai now Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Then Esther bade them return to Mordecai this answer. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days. So we see a commitment here now. So we saw the charge, we see the call, we see the commitment to fast for 3 days, night and day. I also and my father and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. And that's the cost that we see there. So let's go to Lord in prayer. Lord God, we thank you for the time you've given us here this morning. We thank you for the truth of your word. And Lord, I just ask that you go before this morning, that your Holy Spirit would set down here in this place, that our hearts would be tender, our hearts would be open, our hearts would be ready to receive the seed that you have for us here this morning. Lord, I ask now that you'd bless. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, just as it was no accident that Queen Esther was where she was and elevated to be queen during that time, she had tremendous influence over the people, and she eventually was going to obviously save her people. And just as there's no accident that she was there, it's no accident that you are here this morning. Gather here today for such a time as this, to hear the Word of God, to respond to the Word of God, and to let the Word of God have a tremendous influence in your life as well, to lead you to knowing Him more. So I want to say up front, if you're here today, and if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, if you're here today and maybe you've had a walk with the Lord, maybe you've turned away a little bit, and your relationship with the Lord is not as close as it could be, maybe you need to grow a little bit more in the Lord, get things right today. Today would be a day. This is your day for such a time as this to just put aside all the other thoughts, all the other issues going on in life, and just focus on God's Word and let the Holy Spirit work in your life and respond to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. As we seek to know Christ, we must first understand what our charge is. We're charged as Christians or as people. We have a charge. Plain and simple, our charge, our burden, our load, or our accusation, if you will, is that we are all sinners. Each and every one of us here today, we all have sin in our lives. We're all sinners, and we fall short of God's glory. The kids, basically all the verses and the songs that they sang here, the children's choir, is pretty much my message. So I don't know if they looked at my notes this morning, but a lot of the verses that I have here for you is right from a lot of what they're singing about this morning. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And all means all. It doesn't mean some. All have sinned. Each and every one of us here have sinned in our life. We all have sinned. And no one outside of the Lord Jesus Christ is sinless. Sin is a transgression of the law, an offense or a crime, something that's done against a command or a law. And we're all born with this sin. We can't hide that fact. Each and every one of us have this stain in our lives. And when we sin, we transgress the holy law of God. 1 John 3:4 and 6 says this, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifest to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. They're talking about Christ. Some people say, well, I'm a good person. I pay my bills. I do the right things. I help the people across the street, or I help people in my community. That's not what's going to get us to heaven, folks. That's not going to get us to heaven. We need to do right things. We need to help our community and help people in our families and in our churches and those kinds of things. But we still have that sin in our lives, and we have to deal with it. That's a charge that we have to deal with. The Bible says in Romans 3:10 and 12 that there is none righteous. None righteous. No, not one. There is none that doeth good. We can't work our way into heaven. We need to first deal with that sin that we're charged with before we can move on, first and foremost. We need to get that settled. But the problem is that folks get to this point in their lives, they know they're a sinner, they know they have sin, and they do nothing with it. And they don't get past that point. They're stuck in that miry clay, like I talked about in Psalm. Because it's such a picture of what happens to us when we don't yield our lives to the Lord, and we're just stuck in this sin. We can't go as far as the Lord wants us to go. I never ever thought that I'd be an officer in the military. I never thought that I'd be a missionary way back when I was doing those bad things in high school. But once I realized what I was doing, once I realized that I was a sinner and I needed to make a change, that is when my life started. That is when my life began, because that's God's plan for my life. He has a plan and purpose for each and every one of you. He had a plan and purpose for me. And when we match those up, when our will and our desire match up with God's will and God's desire, nothing can hold you back. Nothing can stop you. And I found that true in my life as well. 1 John 1:8 says, if we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So don't lie to yourselves. Each and every one of us have sin. From Adam and Eve to the Pope to the President, each and every one of us are born with sin. There's 6 billion people in the world, or more than 6 billion people in the world today. And each and every one of us has sin in our lives. We're born with it. We can't erase it. It's the charge in our lives. Proverbs 28:13 says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. And we need to know Christ today. We need to have Christ in our lives, have Christ as that motivation and that drive in our lives to do the right thing, to keep moving forward, confessing our sins and trusting him with our lives. We can't play games with God. This is one area that we need to get settled. We need to get right before we can move forward in the blessings and the things that he wants for us. Not only that, but that's the only way we get to heaven, is putting our faith and trust in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. There's no other way to get to heaven. He's the only one who can wash away our sins. The Bible says he remembers our sins no more. Once we accept Christ, once we realize that we're a sinner and we accept Christ as our Savior, he remembers our sins as far as the east is from the west. Right. Now, you can never get, if you're going east, you're always going to go east no matter what you do, right? It doesn't say as far as the north is from the south, because eventually if you're going north, right, you're going to eventually start going south, right? But the Lord knew that as far as the east is from the west. So that's a good picture there. We can never get east, or we can never get west from going east and all that. So I don't want to confuse you there, but it's a pretty simple picture. I'm confusing myself. But, you know, we can't cover it up. We can't cover up sin. We're all born with it. And, you know, we never have to teach a child to do the wrong thing, right? You never have to teach them to be bad. It's just part of the nature that we have. It's part of our sin nature to disobey. We're all born with it. We have to teach him to do right, because even that cute little baby is born a sinner. And any amount of righteousness that we think we have is as filthy rags before God. Isaiah 64:6 says, all our righteousness is as filthy rags. Without Christ, we're essentially dead, dead in our trespasses and sins, and headed straight to a literal place called hell. God cannot allow sin into heaven. He just can't allow it. He turned his back on Christ. And that's why when he was on the cross there, that's why he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because he couldn't look on that sin. He couldn't allow that into heaven. And our sin will keep us separated from God forever, no matter how long we pretend, no matter how long we may try to fake it, no matter how long we may try to just go through the motions. If we know we need to get things right, we got to get that settled.
Yes, sir.
So how can I get things right? How can this charge of sin be lifted from my life? I'm glad you asked. We're going to talk about that here this morning. The only way to have our sins forgiven is to know Christ personally, to have that personal relationship with Christ, yeah. Trusting in the shed blood that he shed on the cross of Calvary for you and for me and for us. That's the only thing that can wash our sins away. John 14:6, Jesus says unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto the Father but by me. It's not by Buddha. It's not by Muhammad. It's not by a sprinkle of water as a baby. Those kind of things cannot save you. only the shed blood of Christ.
Right.
1 John 4:9 says it this way, "In this was manifest the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him." Familiar with John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life."
Amen.
So to truly know Christ, we must realize that we are guilty of sin, and that God looked ahead and he loved us enough not to just leave us on our own, not to just let us wallow in the mire and be stuck in the miry clay there. He made a way to wash away our sins. So our charge is that we are guilty of sin. We are guilty of sin. We need to get that taken care of. Now our call, we also see that we have a call. Our call is that we must confess and repent of this sin. Matthew 9:13 says, "But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Each and every one of us are sinners. Each and every one of us need to repent. Each and every one of us are charged with that sin, and each and every one of us are called to confess and repent of our sin. God is interested in our hearts for such a time as this. Today, right now, he's calling us to come to him with our burdens, come to him with our cares, come to him with the sin that we have in our lives. We need to confess that sin unto him, to trust him that he will wash away those sins, that he will give us new life in Christ, as he gave me new life many years ago, 36 years ago, when I put my faith and trust in Christ. That's when life began for me. That's when it began for me, and that's when it could begin for you. Today could be that day. If you've never accepted Christ, today could be the first day of the rest of your life.
Yes.
2 Peter 3:9 says, "God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, each and every one." His purpose, his call to us, is that we confess our sins and believe that his Son died on the cross for us. He paid our sin debt. Our charge of sin was lifted at Calvary. As I mentioned earlier, I got involved with the wrong crowd of kids there, and I was in trouble a lot when I was younger, and just living that sinful, rebellious life until the Holy Spirit got a hold of my heart. I was walking towards sin. I was walking towards rebellion. I was doing things that I'm not proud of, things I won't repeat right now. But a lot of friends of mine that I was running with at the time, one of the guys died at a very early age, a broken heart. He was in a home for rehabilitation because he was just going down the wrong road. He wasn't following, doing the right things, running with the wrong crowd. And I understood my call. I understood that running with that crowd was sin, and I needed to turn from that. I needed to repent from that. So we're walking in a certain direction. If we're walking towards sin, we know we're doing the wrong things. Repentance is like a turning away from that. So no longer are we going in the wrong direction. When we accept Christ as our Savior, immediately our life changes. And we turn and we start walking in a different direction. We have new life. That's behind us now. We need to start walking in the ways that the Lord wants us to walk, trusting in his word, following in him every day, knowing that he has a plan, a specific plan, a specific purpose for your life. But until our hearts are open and tender and ready to receive what he wants for us, ready to accept that will that he has for us, until that happens, we're going to be wallowing in the mire. We're going to be stuck and brought down, and we're not going to be moving forward. We need to be moving forward. He has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And all we need to do is confess our sins, determine in our hearts to turn away from that sin and turn to God this morning, to trust in him, trust in his ways and all that he has planned for us. Romans 10:9-10 says it this way, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever, that means anybody, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
1 John 1:9 says this, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So our call is to turn away from sin and turn to God. Turning away both in our heart, in our actions, and all that we do. We need to be a complete change. It has to be a complete change. No moment we're walking towards sin, thinking about sin, is going to get us down the wrong road. We're not going to experience blessings in life. We need to make that change and move forward. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And my life changed. Like I said, when I accepted Christ, I had a new life. Amen. Things changed. Doors opened. I was full of joy. I was full of peace because I knew that that was what the Lord wanted me to do. I was walking in the right road, following His word, His plan. This is the only place we're going to get truth from. Amen. We're not going to get it from TV. We're not going to get it from anywhere else, from friends, from Facebook, from social media. It comes from the word of God.
Yes.
Every word of God is true and pure. We need to follow that, and we need to get that in our hearts. And once we get that down, once we get that in our hearts, that's when God can use us. He can mold us. He can shape us after His will, doing what He wants us to do. So to know Christ, we must understand first what our charge is, that we're all sinners. Second, that our call, what are we called to do? We're called to repent of that sin. And thirdly, we have a commitment now. Our commitment is to put feet to our faith and to trust Jesus Christ to live a godly life for the remainder of our lives, not just for that one moment in time. If we accepted Christ at one point in our life, we need to keep moving forward. Not just say, okay, I punched the ticket, I got in, I'm good, I'm going to get to heaven. We need to continue to live, we need to continue to grow, we need to continue to put our faith and trust in Him and His Word. And then that's when things really start to happen for us. We need to be committed to our commitment, not just profess Christ, but possess Christ.
Amen.
And we talked about this yesterday at a pastor's house, had some time of fellowship and talking about our testimonies, and that came up, and it's so true. You know, we can, profess Christ, make a profession of faith, and say that you've accepted Christ, you've repented of your sins. That's good. We need to do that. But it's different. We need to take that next step and have that personal relationship with Christ. Walk with the Lord every day. Amen. That's what we need to do. That's the possession. Make Him yours. Make Him part of who you are. And that's what we need to do. We need to walk with Him during our struggles, walk with Him during our victories, and through it all, give Him all the glory because He deserves it. You know, as I look back on my life, all those victories that I've had in my life, all those successes, if you will, in the military, it wasn't me. It's because I was walking with the Lord. I was trusting in His word, trusting in His way, and He's the one who gets the glory. I can look back and every assignment, all the things that He blessed us with, it was all because of Him. I can see His fingerprints in my life all throughout my life from that time I accepted Christ until now, and I'm looking forward to the future and what He has us to do so that He may get the glory for the ministry that we're involved in now. Too often, folks may pray a prayer, but at the first sign of struggle, the first sign of challenge in their lives, what do? They go back to the old way, or they turn from God's word, and then they don't do what they're supposed to do. If they know they're supposed to be walking in a certain direction, you know, we need to just trust in the Lord. I know sometimes we want things to happen quick in our lives, right? That's the way things are today. But sometimes we just need to wait. Wait on the Lord, and He'll show us what we need to do. He'll show us what we need to do. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So part of knowing Christ is trusting in Him, trusting that He has our best intentions in mind, giving Him control of our lives. And that's hard to do sometimes, to kind of release control of our own lives, because we just want to do things our own way. We want to get things done.
Yes, sir.
And we just need to relax. We just need to just wait on God and let Him go. Let Him have the reins. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him.
Yes.
And He shall direct your paths, and He will. Over the years, I'd be asked about my accomplishments in the military and, the successes that I had, the medals that I got from being deployed and all those things. And I tell people that it's not about, the success is not about money. It's not about medals. It's not about rank and promotion and those kinds of things. Success for me has been knowing and doing God's will. If we know God's will and we do God's will, He'll give us what we need to get through the challenges, whatever we face in life. He will give us exactly what we need at the right moment to give us enough light to move forward in whatever it is He calls us to do. And He continues to bless abundantly, exceedingly abundantly, in fact, in our lives. And we're just so thankful. Matthew 22:37 says that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. It's a total commitment. We need to be totally committed to God's word, to following his plan, to following his path for our lives. Trusting and believing is not merely acknowledging that Jesus existed or that he was a good example for us. We need to trust in Christ and his sacrifice alone as a complete payment for our sin debt. We won't get something in the mail telling us that we owe more when we accept Christ as our Savior. It's done. It's complete. And we owe nothing, nothing else. So to know Christ, we must understand that that we're all sinners. That's our charge, that we must repent of our sins, turn away in our thoughts and our actions. And our commitment is that we need to trust that Christ died for our sins, that we need to love him and trust him with all of our heart. Finally, we see that there is a cost. There's a cost. The cost to know Christ is free. It's free for us. Salvation is a free gift to all who believe. One man gave his life for mine, for yours. One man brought eternal freedom to us. And the payment for our sin debts has been paid through Christ's death on the cross. The gift is there. It's available. But if you think about at Christmas time, right? You're giving gifts at Christmas time. They sit under the tree, and your family have different names on it, right? If you didn't take that gift that had your name on it, you'd never know what's in that box, right? And you won't accept it. You won't receive it, but it's got your name on it. It's there. It's waiting for you. What do you have to do? You have to physically go under the tree, or if you're at a birthday party, whatever, you have to physically go get that gift, and you have to open it, and it's got your name on it, and in that box is eternal life. It's a free gift, and it's there. It's there for you. It's waiting for you. If you've never accepted Christ, if you've never accepted that free gift, if you've just left that box under the tree or on the table, today you'll have an opportunity to respond, to pick up that box and say, Lord, here am I. I'm a sinner. Save me and come into my heart. We need to trust Christ. We need to know that he has the best intentions for us. And he loves us, and he wants to cleanse us from our sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, For God hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Romans 5:18, By the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. The Lord Jesus paid all the debts that we have. As I mentioned, John 3:16, For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. Sinners will be separated from God unless they repent and trust in the shed blood of Christ, period. That's it. The Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin, and Jesus paid it all for us. Those who don't believe in Christ, and they will experience eternal death, or eternal death in hell, and that's forever. There's no reset button on that one. So many times people are so gadget-oriented and playing all these violent games and things, and you hear about it on the news, they just go out and wind up doing things to people because they think maybe they can hit a reset button. Well, it's not a game. It's not a video game. Life is life. There's consequences for our actions, for our inactions, and we need to put our faith and trust in Christ or else we will go to hell. So as we bring our time to a close here, for such a time as this, God offers eternal life in heaven as a free gift to you. You need to be honest with yourself and acknowledge that you're a sinner. Acknowledge that you have sin in your life. Believe that God sent his Son to pay that sin debt. And then you need to confess those sins to Christ. Plain and simple, Jesus Christ died for you. And if you've not confessed those sins, I trust that today would be the day for such a time as this. Maybe you've drifted a little bit far from the Lord. Maybe you are saved. One time in your life, you can remember that I did put my faith and trust in Christ. And maybe you need to rededicate your life today. Have that closer walk with the Lord, a closer relationship with Christ. Today, you can make that happen. Maybe you've been in church all your life. Maybe you know what to say. Maybe you have all the right words. You dress the right way. You say the right things. But where's your heart at? That's what it's all about. It's the state of our heart. And our hearts need to be right with the Lord. Our hearts need to be in sync with God. We can do a lot of surface-based things. And, people ask you, what's the thing that we always do? People ask, how you doing? Oh, I'm fine. I'm doing okay. But really, how are you doing? I mean, maybe you're going through some trials and challenges, but we're just not as open to want to express that. Well, this morning, think about the state of your heart. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with why has God brought you here today? Why does God bring you to church? Because we need to learn, we need to grow, we need to change to be more like Christ. And this is an opportunity as we give an invitation here shortly to come. Just spend time at the altar, whatever you're going through. So let me ask you personally, do you know Christ at all this morning? Do you know him as your personal Savior? Are you walking with him daily? Are you spending time in his word? How do you get to know someone? Think of your best friend, right? They're your best friend. Why? Because you spend time with them, right? So we need to spend time with God's word. That's how we get to know him. Just like, you know, our family member or our friends, by spending time with him. You know, like I said, my life didn't begin until I trusted Christ. And at that point, things started to change for me. I answered the call to repentance. I committed to living a godly life, and I acknowledged and accepted that cost, that free gift of salvation that's available to each and every one here today. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. For such a time as this, we need to know Christ. And he'll guide us through all the uncertainties of life. He'll get us through the challenges. He'll get us through the struggles. But we need to make that commitment, and we need to trust him, put him first in our lives.
Complete in thee, no work of mine may take, dear Lord, the place of thine. Thy blood hath pardoned, bought for me, and I am now complete in thee. Yea, justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified, salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardoned, bought for me, and glorified I too shall be. Complete in thee, no more shall sin. Thy grace hath conquered, reign within. Thy voice shall bid the tempter flee, and I shall stand complete in thee. Yea, justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified, salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardoned, bought for me, and glorified I too shall be. Complete in thee, 'twant supplied, and no good thing to me denied. Since thou my portion, Lord, will be, I ask no more, complete in thee. Yea, justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified, salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardoned, bought for me, and glorified I too shall be. Dear Savior, when before thy bar all tribes and tongues assembled are, among thy chosen will I be, at thy right hand, complete in thee. Yea, justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified, salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardoned, bought for me, and glorified I too shall be.
Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. we would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.